Before we kick off the podcast today, we have someone special, which is our guest starring role every Wednesday on Miguel and Holly Uncensored.
Exactly.
Who's on the phone?
Hey, Miguel and Holly, how are you doing?
Jacob Two-Times!
Yes! Oh, never mind about us. Jacob, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing so awesome because, hey, listen, to kick off this podcast, you guys got the number one show on the radio in Tampa Bay ever.
Oh.
And not only that, though, you guys got the 2 millionth podcast download from me, you know?
Holy crap!
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I'll take it.
Let me look through the podcast statistics real quick. I don't know. I'm looking, Jacob. You know what? I will take your word for it.
Yes.
I think you have the official word from iTunes and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob. And yes, go ahead.
Yes, Miguel. And just to let you know, the word that you came up for the podcast platypus, that is actually an animal. It's a duck, Miguel. Can you believe that?
I cannot. I actually didn't know what a platypus was. I just like the name platypus.
Look up the word. You'll see the beautiful animal it is.
Oh, well, we have a little statue that somebody sent to us here.
We do.
So look, now we know what a platypus is.
But it is a mammal. It's not just a duck. It's a mammal. It also has a duck bill. God just laughed the day he created the platypus.
He was feeling silly.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? First of all, though, I still have that CD of you guys doing the headphone karaoke and Scotty singing that song, you know?
Oh, well, he was always
in the archives, you know?
If we ever need any sort of like old audio, we got to call Jacob because he's got the archives.
He does. He is the archivist for the Miguel and Holly show. I love it. Oh, here we go. What podcast is everyone listening to?
You're listening to the 2 millionth podcast download right now with Uncle Miguel and Aunt Holly and Cousin Scotty the Body on Hot 101.5.
I'll take it.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Ricky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
Ricky. Hi. People always ask me, they say, when you hear yourself on the radio, like, do you get embarrassed? How do you feel? And whenever I listen back to like a best of show or a commercial that runs throughout the day, I just always think to myself, who is that idiot on the radio? Like,
Oh my gosh.
And not like in a I'm dumb, but in a who let this non-speaking person on the radio, because I feel like for me, I'm not like a traditional on-air performer. Like if we were to go back in time, Holly, and audition to be on the radio back in like the 80s or early 90s, I would have failed. Like I would not get a job, because back then it was about how you pronounced your words and how you enunciated.
It was the delivery.
And the quality of your voice.
Yeah.
I don't do any of that.
Well,
I stumble over my words. My voice is all over the place. Sometimes when I listen to segments back and I can hear, and maybe this is just my car, the bass of my voice sometimes feels like it's too much. And when I talk for a long time, I'm like, oh, God, turn it off. And I always wonder if other people feel like that. I mean, thankfully, our ratings are good. Well, so I guess people don't think that.
You have to remember that that's not what radio does anymore. Radio is not just about a soothing voice.
Yeah. Right.
It's about connection. And the realer you are, the more connected you are. So you're perfect for current radio.
Oh, Look at that, Holly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But sometimes my voice is grating. I'm just saying. Like, from just a quality standpoint. But thankfully, people don't feel that way.
Lucky you're funny.
Right.
So there's that.
Sometimes.
Well, sometimes.
How do you feel when you hear yourself back, Holly?
I mean, it's fucking amazing. Right? Like, I don't understand people that are like, I hate to hear my voice.
Right.
Well, then why? I don't get that. Mm. I love my voice.
Save that. We normally don't save stuff for the on-air show from the podcast, but that's good.
I mean, I guess because so many people hate their own voices and so many people have said over the years, I don't know how you do it. I couldn't stand to hear myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have started to feel ashamed that I like myself so much, or like it's a bad thing, or I'm conceited for some reason. But
right.
I don't dislike it.
Holly said, I love myself. No, I totally agree with you. I mean, like, I say all that to say that I enjoy hearing the content and how it comes across, because how we hear it in our ears is different from how it hits your ears when you're in your car. I mean, because we don't know how you listen. Like, you could be listening to this podcast on your Alexa, on your phone, with your AirPods, in your car, while you're doing, like, I know when I listen to podcasts, it's usually when I'm in the shower from the gym, or in the morning, or when I'm cooking dinner. And so there are several different ways. And so I'm usually doing something else.
Yeah.
And there are other sounds around. And so it's not as intimate as how I think it feels like right now when we're in the studio.
Right. Well, we're the most, this way of listening to ourselves right now is probably the most intimate, unless you've got AirPods in.
Right. Right.
So it's going to hit everybody different, and everybody has different things that they like and they don't like, and different sounds. Like, not everybody thinks that nails on a chalkboard is the worst sound. Like, the sound that grates on me is wet gym shoes on a gym floor.
Ooh,
or
the
that
squeak.
Sound, less squeak. Or, ooh, like, when you're, like if you rub a balloon, same type of thing. Or if, like, if you have a styrofoam cooler and the styrofoam rubs against itself. Those sounds make me want to die. So everyone has different things. But it's going to hit you differently either way. But I don't mind my own voice. I really like it. And I am glad that's the case.
Yeah.
But then I also feel.
Oh, you're rude.
Why?
Now, I wanted to, Scott, what's the sound that you hate the most?
That I hate the most? Probably, like, scratching a fork on a plate. Oh, you're so messed up. I just heard, I literally, as soon as I said it, I heard you type.
Yeah. That's what that noise just was when I was like, ugh.
Oh God, I can already feel it.
Yeah, like, what the heck? You don't like it either. Didn't
I don't,
you yell
I don't.
At your boyfriend once?
I
more?
Did. Wait, hold on.
I did.
Wait, hold on, come.
Oh, what is wrong?
I can't even do it. It hurts my teeth. There was one time Abe had this, when he makes a salad, he has the big, how do you call it? What do you describe them
metal
as?
Metal bowl?
Metal bowl? It's not metal.
It's metal.
It's not metal because it'd be heavier.
Well,
it's it's a silver.
That's metal.
Is it metal?
It's like aluminum.
Aluminum, because the metal is heavy. Like,
well,
they're not
still
heavy.
A metal. That's a type of metal.
Anyway, regardless.
You're thinking of like iron or something.
Right.
But it's not. Like, that you can still have a lightweight metal bowl.
Whatever it is. He puts a salad in, and whenever he gets to the last bit of it, bitch will fucking scrape. And literally, there was one time he was like, skirk, skirk, skirk. And he was so in it, I didn't want to, like, stop him. But after the fourth time, I was like, you gotta stop it! Oh, my God.
Wow. And see, he was like, oh, my God. That doesn't bother me.
That doesn't, I have to take my headphones off to do this. Hold
I don't
on.
Want right. to hear it again.
Well, hang on.
Okay. It's not horrible. Actually, okay, ooh. You can stop. All right. You know what it is, though, for me, that, like, what you do that I have to really hold back on ever saying anything?
Oh, me?
I've said this before, but, like, if I hear, and this goes for really anyone, like, chewing, like, people chewing.
Oh, God.
Or mouthing some food, and it happens a lot when I'm, like, the same way you reacted to Abe scraping your thing. Like, if I'm sitting in the kitchen, and I hear, like, you eating lunch or something, all of a sudden, all my focus goes on that, and I'm like, Stop. And sometimes I'll just get up and leave because I'm like, okay, I can't. I just can't do it because it just grosses me out.
Like that?
Yeah, that one right there. When it's in your mouth and you're going, ugh. But it's more so in person. Like, if I hear you munching, it just grosses me out. I don't know.
That doesn't bother me either.
I don't know.
To me, that sounded satisfying.
I know. That actually sounds delicious. I'm kind of hungry now.
No, it's when I hear that. Like, I hear your moisture in your mouth.
The moist mouth. Miguel has a lot of moist mouth moments because he has a huge mouth.
He knows how to chew, I've discovered.
He's a chewer.
Oh, girl, especially if I have had some drinks or whatever and I'm, like, by myself and I'm going in on something, like, it is gross. Like, I'll be the first person. Last night, since Abe is gone this week, excuse me, see moist mouth, I bought just like a bunch of sandwich stuff to make sandwiches for dinner. And so, and I like mine to be moist and slippery. So I have like mayo and mustard.
That's a weird way to describe a sandwich.
Oh, I love it all slip and slide. Mayo, mustard. I have this like boar's head oil with seasoning in it and then the red wine vinegar on it. And so by the time you get to, like, the last few bites, I mean, it's all over the place. Last night, like, Scott, you were gone. Roommate Dylan was upstairs, and Abe is gone. I went to town. Like, I had mustard and mayo, like, all over my fingers. Oh, it was so good. It was like eating in my natural habitat. It was delicious.
Good thing you weren't there, Scott.
Oh, thank God. No, sometimes I'll literally be sitting at the table, and I'll hear, I'm like, oh, my God. But it's like, you can't do anything about it. You're just eating.
Yeah. Right.
But to me, it's like the most disgusting thing ever.
Yeah. See, everyone has a different thing.
To me, the ultimate sound that I just can't stand whatsoever, and I used to, I mean, you know, I'm dramatic now, but when I was younger and my mom used to do this, and I would, like, have a meltdown. I don't even know if I can handle it. This is when you're sharpening a knife.
Oh. I don't mind the sound, actually.
That's good. Really, I think that's satisfying as well.
Yeah, that one sounds satisfying.
Really? I had to take my headphones off.
Ooh, like, sharpen it up.
Ugh, I can't do it. That just,
No, see, mine is at, like I'm hearing my most hated noise in my head right now.
What,
like,
is it?
That, like, oh, if you have, like, for example, there's a lot of things that make this noise, but if you have, like, one of those helium balloons, not the Mylar ones, just a regular old rubbery balloon, and you rub it on something,
Hold on, let me see if I can find it.
Like,
I wonder why that is. Why is that?
I don't know what it is exactly.
Morningstar Farms.
Oh, sorry. That sounds delightful.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Oh, no.
I wish, sometimes I just want to just pay for YouTube. Wait. Oh, no, that's blowing up a balloon.
Wait,
sorry.
I heard Morningstar Farms. Of it.
Hold on.
I heard one squeak and it was bad.
See, that's crazy, though, because you could think of it. Like, I'm thinking of my sounds and it's like literally sending shivers down my back.
I know.
That's so weird.
You can hear it in your head.
Here we go.
No!
Really?
No!
That's so interesting.
Like, that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, that one doesn't. But that's so weird.
Wow.
And it's so weird because that's not like that happens that often.
A lot of birthday parties.
But it does when you have a kid and she's like, oh, my balloons. And I'm like, don't do anything crazy. And so she'll be like, I'm not. And then she'll do it. And I'm like, Maya, I will come pop that balloon.
Oh, my God. You know what's so fascinating is that, like, literally there is everything on YouTube.
You can find everything on YouTube.
Like, this is so fascinating. I've literally have just found all of these just by putting it on YouTube. I actually think I may have, I put scraping bottom of bowl, and I don't think I've seen anything. Is there another way to type it?
Scraping bottom of metal bowl. I'm telling you, it is metal.
Scraping bottom of metal bowl?
Yeah. Maybe that.
Let's see. This is 15 minutes, so we can't really.
Oh, jeez.
Why do the sounds of a scraping knife on a plate and fingernails on a chalkboard make humans cringe? That's a video on YouTube you can look up on your own. It's 15 minutes, so. Dang, I can't find it.
It says that there's a disorder called misophonia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that's the intense hatred of specific
Just before
sounds?
We get started, I do want to say that this...
Okay.
1986, the trio of scientists conducted a study trying to figure out what exactly in these sounds humans the world over hate so viscerally. In the study, published in the journal Perception and Psychophysics, the researchers were hypothesizing that it was the high-pitched sounds that were causing the issue and thus isolated the sounds between low, middle, and high frequencies. After playing these recordings to subjects, remarkably, they found they were wrong. As Dr. Blake noted, to our surprise, the removal of the high frequencies...
Yeah, it's a lot. It goes on and on and on.
It's a lot.
But anyway, so it's so fascinating to hear what sounds make you go crazy. Like my mom, she cannot stand when you bite a chip. Like growing up, you have to put the entire chip in your mouth, close your mouth, and then bite down on it. If you just had a chip and like just bit off the half of it, she could hear it from any part of the house and be like, put it in your mouth.
That's crazy.
And so that's why only unless I'm like drunk or something do I put a lot of chips in my mouth. I do it one by one because my mom would like go crazy if I had a bunch and try to put it in my mouth. Because please believe I tried. Or when you're sipping a cup from a fast food place and it's the very bottom of it and you do that slurping sound at the end.
You gotta get it all.
Oh, no. You would have to take the top off and then throw it back. You cannot slurp the little bit of it at the bottom.
That's so weird. That's Everybody so has their own weird thing.
Slurping. Oh, gosh. You're going to look up slurping sounds?
What is it? Slurping.
Now, slurping ice? the last sips of a drink, something like that. I will say that there's a difference to me that I don't mind at all. Like, get your last couple of sips in. But if we're eating soup and you're doing like a to get the. Yeah. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
But if you have soup and we're like at a dinner and you take one spoonful and then you go. I'm like, why? Why would you do that? Like, just put the damn thing in your mouth. Oh, that's disgusting.
Ew, that sounded.
That's gross.
Not like a spoon.
Like, have some damn manners, you animal. Why would you put the whole spoonful in your mouth?
Yeah, and I think it's maybe it's just other countries, but I think in like when I went to China with Mary, like talk about like those sounds like that I hate.
Oh,
like eat. And this is like Mary and I had the discussion before. She's like, hey, just letting you know, like the eating over there is different. Like when you eat, you eat. Like you go hard, like you chow, really? And then when you drink soup or anything like that, it's you just slurp it up.
There's, oh, no.
Yeah, it
That's
was
so
intense.
Odd to me because in my mind, like Chinese culture, there's so much like, what is the word I'm looking for?
Reverence.
Yes, that's a good word. So everything is done with reverence, with honor. You know, you're very fastidious about manners and things.
But that's the manner there. Like that's,
right, that's
showing the cook
thing.
That it's like your meal's really good. So it's almost like the more sounds you're making, that's like an applause to the chef of like, it is so good. I am so involved in this food right now that I love it.
It's, I got it.
Like, and I'm not good with hearing people chew, so I had to block out a lot of it when I was there. But it is weird to hear the difference over in like American culture where it's like quiet when you eat. And then over there, it's like, nah, 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 nah.
I find that so fascinating because like you of all people, Scott, like when you eat, it's like listening to someone have sex. Like it's almost like taking the sound effects of a porn without the visual. Because if it's, this is how I know if I'm cooking dinner and Scott really enjoys it. Because he's just like, And the first time I think I made something, I was like, all right, bitch, like.
Calm down.
I got it. Like,
you don't have to play it up.
Right. I got it. If it's good, it's good. But that's just how he does. If it's like really good.
I heard him
good.
Do that when he had. What did you have the other day? And you like took a bite and you were like, I was like, oh. Some sexual stuff going on over there in that corner.
I don't even remember doing it. That's weird. I don't even think that I do that. Maybe I do it once for like maybe a joke, but I didn't know I realized. Did it that much.
Oh, yeah, because there'll be times where you won't do it, and then that's when I start to get self-conscious, and I'm like, wait, was the dinner good?
No, like, there has never been one meal seasoned? Once that I didn't like. You got, like, again, you got to remember what I eat on the, the reg.
So anything with flavor, he's appreciative of.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. Holly, how's life going in your corner of the world?
Well, I'm glad we're doing this today and not yesterday, because yesterday would have been a different story. Oh. I was just not in a good place yesterday. Mm. Very down, very low, very depressed. I had a massage. I had this, and we talked about this. Miguel, I sent you for your birthday last year a gift certificate to like an energy healer.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to get that out so I can make an appointment after we're done with this.
Go on, do it, because I had a massage by same said energy healer yesterday. And of course, you know, I we're in such a weird spot with COVID. I feel like I can't even talk about what I do if I do it because I'm going to get shit from somebody.
Right.
But I went and had a damn massage. Everybody was safe. You know, we have, there are safety precautions in place, but I needed it so badly. And I think it was like the combo of having a massage, but not just having a massage, having it done by someone who also does that energy healing, because it's very tailored to you and what's going on in you. And mm-hmm. I really credit that with helping bring me out of the dark yesterday. So today I'm doing a lot better, but I've noticed over the past maybe few weeks, it's just sort of been like a little bit of a descent from where I was. And so on tomorrow, I'm going to go see Dr. Upshaw and maybe do like another small round of the TMS therapy that I do, because I think I'm one of those people that it definitely holds, because I'm much better than I was before I started it.
Right.
But in some cases, you may need a little boost or whatever. It just depends. For some people, it doesn't work at all, which I always hesitate when I am doing the endorsement, because I'm like, it's really going to suck when someone's like, oh, I can't wait to get fixed, and then it doesn't work for them.
Right.
They don't know why, but it just doesn't work for some people. It definitely works for me, but I don't think, I think sometimes it falters a little bit. But then I also remember I'm going through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You got a lot going on.
I do. And it's not, and I'm in no way, shape, or form would try to say like I have it so bad or anything. But for me personally, and for my sensibilities and my empathicness, it's just very difficult right now being in obviously COVID times, like everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, financially, I'm doing okay. Luckily, I'm not, you know, having to also go through like knowing where my next mortgage payment is going to come from, even though I mean, it's tight. But also with having my mom at home, and I'm not going to ignore gut feelings anymore about things, because I did a lot of ignoring my whole life and putting off what I felt. And that obviously led me into some pretty bad situations. So I'm going to continue to pay attention to my gut feelings. And something is not right with her. And I don't think it's me being like just annoyed at this point. I just think there is something wrong and I need to figure this out. But it's so difficult because I'm so closely tied as her daughter.
Right.
And she's like the toxic person for me, having raised me to be so codependent and people pleasing.
Right.
So it's this crazy dynamic. And it's not like she's toxic all the time. Like, she's in good moods sometimes. You know, she'll come down and just be okay, or like playing with Maya or something. But it's like little tiny things. Let me give you an example. So yesterday, I get home from my massage, was feeling a million times better, and my body felt better. Like, apparently I had like a rib out of place.
Oh.
What? Whatever. So I felt so much better. And I come in, my person had just come over for the afternoon. Maya's there and my mom comes down. So now there's like a full house, and I'm just like, you know, I always need to work on boundaries. So energetically, I'm like, this is my feelings. I'm not going to try to absorb anybody else's right now, which I do all the time, but I'm trying. And he told me the story of, before I had gotten home, Maya was watching TV, and my mom comes down and she's like, Maya, you can't just be sitting around. You got to go do something. You got to play. You got to do something. And Maya's like, can I just finish this video? And my mom's like, okay, but you got to do something. And for like, he said it was like for 45 minutes, my mom was like sitting there watching TV. And this is what she did when I was young. She'd be like, I don't get that. I don't like this. I don't like what this is. Which then you're like, okay, well, what if I like it? Guess it doesn't matter, because she doesn't like it. And she's going to continue to say it until you change it. So then after a while, Maya got sick of that. And so Maya's like, okay, I'm going to go play. And my mom's like, well, someone needs to play with you. So I guess I'll do it.
Oh.
And I don't think she realizes she's doing this, but it's manipulative. And she did it again when I got home, because Maya was running around and she's like, we're going to go play hide and seek. Someone needs to play with her. I guess I'll do it. So then she goes and plays with her.
Right.
And I'm like, I spent a lot of time trying to be like, well, that doesn't mean anything. But it kind of does.
Right.
What she's saying, without saying it, is, why are you not playing with your child right now? This is what you should be doing as a parent. Since you're not going to do it, I'll do it.
Right.
And I don't even think she knows that that's what she's projecting, but it absolutely is, based on her past trauma whatever, from like her not being played with by her parents or whatever. But in reality, there's so much more to the story. Like, Maya needs to learn how to play on her own. You know, it's okay for a kid to play by themselves for like 45 minutes to an hour.
You got
to
learn your imagination.
You do. And it's not my job to entertain her, to come home from work and immediately jump into entertaining my kid. It's not healthy for me or her. But like in my mom's eyes, she's like, "What? Someone needs to play with Maya. Mm. What? What? No one's going to step up?"
Right.
I will. The martyr.
Mm.
And so dealing with that repeatedly, it's like, and she's kind of like not mean when she says it, but it's that subliminal vibe she's giving off, which makes me want to like jump off the couch and be like, "I got it."
Mm.
I got it, to make my mom happy.
Right.
Has nothing to do with Maya or me.
Right, because Maya's happy just going off and doing her own thing.
Well, she's not. But you know why she's not?
Mm.
Because she's always had someone playing with her.
Yeah.
But she needs to learn that it's okay to play by yourself.
Right.
So, like, my person and I have sort of implemented, like, okay, when mom gets home from work, mom's going to go take a nap. I'm going to go take a nap. He's going to go on his, like, exercise walk.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya's gonna play by herself. All this stuff takes about an hour.
Right.
And I'm loving that because it does give me a chance to like decompress from work and then reacclimate and be like, you know, okay, it's go time now for mom.
Right.
Instead of just jumping from one to the other with no breaks. So that's why it's just exhausting, because it's this constant level of you're not good enough. Mm. You're not doing the right thing. And after a while, it like wears on you. So that's what I'm fighting against right now. And she's going to have to move into an independent living facility, like I mentioned a few podcasts ago. But that seems like a huge task. And I'm sort of dreading that because I'm just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So having said all that, yesterday after I had the massage, it was better. Because once I'm kind of like fortified in that way, I can kind of let it roll off me. And I'm like, okay, bitch, you go ahead and play with her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fall victim to this manipulative martyrdom of you want me to make sure I'm doing the best parenting that you think I should be doing.
Right.
But it sort of grows. I'll be like, okay, for like a week or two, and then like just over time, it slowly eats at you. And then suddenly this is my friend Julie said, because yesterday morning she and I were texting, and she's like, "How you doing?" I was like, "Not good, I'll be honest. I'm just not good." Okay? Like, I couldn't fake it. And I was explaining all that stuff to her, and she's like, "It sounds like the reason that you're so exhausted is because you keep trying to pour from an empty cup."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Oh, shit."
You're like, she called it.
But that's what happens. It's like, I'm taking care of this one, that one, the other one, all this other stuff, making appointments, calling about bills, handling all this stuff. Another one of my mom's like doorknobs fell off, and it's just one more thing I got to do. At what point do I say, I need a minute?
Right. Because
it feels selfish for me to do that. So it's just this vicious cycle. Like, I'm at the top of it right now. So I'm going to try to maintain, but I'm only human.
Yeah.
There's only so much I can do. So getting her into an independent living facility in the midst of COVID, and also just having to deal with, it's like finding a damn college.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go do visits. Are they even doing in-person visits? Do you get the same from a virtual visit? Like,
it's a lot. Have you had any advice yet on what place, type of places to look for, on what to look for when you do look, anything like that?
I mean, I think I have to look for something that's going to suit what she needs.
Right.
And I connected with a service called A Place for Mom.
Oh, yeah. I see those commercials with Joan London on CNN.
And
previously of Good Morning America.
Exactly.
With Charlie Gibson.
So they have a thing where like they take some of the work out of it for you. Unfortunately, I've called them, and in the area where we live, they're only connected with two places.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm like, okay, that helps, because now they've done the footwork of reaching out to those two places, but I can't only look at two places.
Right.
So I'm going to have to expand the search on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just where I'm at right now.
What sort of places, because my family is going through that right now with my grandmother.
Right.
And trying to figure out, you know, what the next steps are, because she's gotten to a place to where she can't do anything for herself. And my uncle and my aunt, I think my aunt, she quit her job to be able, she was like close to retirement anyway, and so now she's taking care of it, but it's getting too much for her because she's there 24/7. And when you are dependent upon someone to help you use the bathroom, to eat, to even just get up off the bed, just to like, you know, get in a wheelchair and roll around for a little bit, that's a lot for one person.
Oh, it's too much.
Right. And so they're going through that process now. So I'm just curious, like, are you looking for like a Catholic place or a...
I mean, that would be great because my mom would love that.
Right.
But the only Catholic place I know of in our area doesn't do independent living as much.
Mm.
Like, they have a facility, but I don't see any high ratings for it necessarily.
Gotcha.
They're better on the assisted living, which is what your grandmother needs, like fully assisted living.
Right.
Or there's another term for it. But my mom wants independent living, which she probably could use a combo because there's like all this stuff that she just needs help with.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got it. The day-to-day stuff is fine.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, I want a place, obviously, where she feels comfortable, where they like some form of like church transportation is included, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
That is well kept, like that the staff cares. Cause like we went through two different places when she came home from the hospital, or before she came home from the hospital when she had her brain surgery. And you can definitely tell there's a difference in staffing, where some places have like a beautiful building, but the staff doesn't care that much.
Right.
Or vice versa. So it's hard. It's really hard to figure this out, which is why I'm dreading it.
Yeah, there were a couple places that when my grandmother was going through a lot of her medical stuff in the fall that my mom would look at. And the people, like, I guess the places with high turnover rates because they don't pay well, that's where she was like, nope, she's not going there. Because those people are there for like a month or two.
They don't learn.
They don't
the
care.
Residents.
No, they're
they
just
don't
like,
care.
Right. And so it's a very delicate process that, you know.
Yeah. And I feel for your aunt and uncle and your mom and whoever, because you feel so much pressure to make the perfect choice.
Right.
And then there's like outside pressure and also guilt from society who is like, well, why can't you just do it?
Right.
Just take care of your parent.
Right.
And that's not reasonable.
Well, and the thing I feel like we are forgetting is that, you know, as a society, there's a reason why we invent things and we make life easier. So we can get to that place where you find a balance of taking care of the things you need to take care of and then being able to find joy in your life.
Right.
Because, I mean, think about it. 100 years ago... you know, your life was solely consisted of like just producing to live.
Yeah.
So like you work in the field just to be able to have stuff to eat, to put shelter over your head. And then with the Industrial Revolution, machines made life easier. So now you can take vacation. Like vacation probably wasn't a word except for rich people back in the 1800s, early 1900s.
Right.
But now, even if you do work kind of part time or you have several jobs, maybe, hopefully, you can even just do like a staycation, but you can take some days off. Yeah. Whereas back then, it was a matter of eating or not eating if you took a day off.
And you noticed that people didn't live as long.
They didn't, because you had no quality of life. You were just literally working to live. And so now that we have technology and we have these services in place, I mean, that's why I feel bad even mentioning out loud that like I have a cleaning service. Like, I feel awful saying that out loud because like, you pay someone to come clean your house, you should be able to do that. But it's like, I've gotten to this point to where I make a little extra money that I can employ people to come. And especially, I'm not going into Scott's room or roommate Dylan's room. I want to make sure their stuff is clean. And so I can do that. And that's something that I don't have to worry about. Mm. I don't have to clean the baseboard. So I can spend more time focusing on work. Or who is Miguel? What do I enjoy? And that's not a bad thing, you know? But we as Americans make ourselves feel guilty.
For everything.
Right. About, oh my God, you got to feel guilty because you have someone come clean your house or your parent. You know, my mom is going through that now. Like, she feels awful about having someone having to take care of my grandma. And I'm like, but they're a professional. They're going to be able to provide her with the day-to-day services that you just aren't able to. If we were rich and you didn't have to go to work, girl, do it. We will get you a house, and you can take care of her, and you can keep that promise.
But even then, it's
you're not a medical professional.
Yeah, it's not feasible, because then you're asking your child to stop their entire life and only take care of you.
Right.
And I'm sure, like, yes, I know, like, your mom made the promise to your grandma, and, you know, things get different when you get older. Like, I'm sure all of us don't want to be in that position, but we will be one day.
Right.
Where it's like, well, I don't want to be with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I just want what I know. Just,
right.
I raised you. Can't you do the same for me?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to realize that isn't the only reason you have children.
Right.
You have children so that they might go on to, like, live amazing lives
mm-hmm.
and enjoy them.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of older people, when faced with, like, you don't want to be a burden on your children, but then you're also scared.
Right.
Because you're dealing with end of life fears.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what death is like. So you have that now in the back of your mind always. And it's a scary place to be. So you want to be as comforted as possible with people that you know and love.
No.
But then that's where it becomes a slippery slope, because it's not your mom's job to bend over and just lay down her life
right.
for the rest of your grandmother's life.
Right. And that's what I told my mom. I'm like, listen, you're in your 60s. You still have a good 20, 25, 30 years of healthy walking around, going to the casino,
yeah.
going to bingo. Like, you should be able to do that. You're about to retire in a couple of years. I would love to be able to send you money so you can go play bingo all you want to. Don't get crazy.
Right.
But, you know, have fun and enjoy yourself, because you've worked so hard your entire life. And so I'm pretty sure that if we were to rewind time a little bit, you know, to maybe 15, 20 years ago, grandma would have said, all right, well, like, I want you to live your life, because I've done all these things, and I want you, because you're my child, I want you to be able. That's why you work, so
yes.
your kids can have that better life, you know? Because my mom has said to me, she's like, when I get to that age, I don't want you wiping my butt. And I'm like, and I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make sure you're in the best possible place, and that Fabio is going to be Ooh. There wiping your butt, making you feel good, and you're going to have a fun-ass time, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I will come visit you. But I can't.
Yeah.
That is not in my wheelhouse.
And it's, again, you have to be okay with, and this is what have learned. I think I talked about it on the air with that book, Untamed, where it's like you have to program your children that it's okay to disappoint people.
Right.
Not like with main, like, you know, don't go be a murderer
yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
But, like, expectations-wise,
mm-hmm.
It's okay if you disappoint me. You're
right.
an individual person. I didn't give birth to a slave.
Right.
I gave birth to a human being that is not mine. They are their own person
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, blessed with their own soul to go live their own life.
Right.
Would it be nice to be cared for by said person? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to expect that person to, you know, to end their life early because they owe me.
Mm.
And so that's hard, because that form of thinking only, I think, came up recently.
Right.
Like within the past decade or so.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, in former generations, that is what you did. Because
right.
all the elder people died.
Right.
And then that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't this sort of paradoxical, you know, question wasn't even a question.
Right.
But now that people are living longer and you have these end of life queries and it's difficult, it's sort of like how right now the thing is, you're not supposed to judge people for what they're doing with their kids going back to school.
Mm.
You do the best you can for your family.
Right.
So that for school, that might look like going back to brick and mortar school. It might look like virtual learning through the school's website. It might look like complete homeschooling where you're the teacher. But you can't judge someone for what they do based on your circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same thing, I think, for the elderly.
It's so true. And we do that so much.
We love to do it. We love nothing more than to feel like we're better than someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's so gross, but we all do it. And, I mean, we even sometimes do it subconsciously.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Because that's just how we are. I don't know. It just sucks. It's not a very nice mentality that we have.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's just human nature. I mean, I feel like that's how racism got started, is my skin is lighter than yours, and so that makes me better than you, and I've got to feel good about enslaving you.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to make all the excuses.
Right. I've got to create some sort of difference between us so it makes me feel better about knowing that I have you enslaved and doing this work for free.
Right. Ugh.
Wow.
It's been around for a long time. That's what humans do. It is quite literally human nature, and I think it's one of the uglier parts of it. So I really try to work against that.
Mm.
Or like quick judgments, which my mom grew up that way with her just judging everybody.
Right.
And you have to realize too, there's a psychological aspect of it. And my person and I were discussing my mom and how very sad it is because she was the middle child. She was abused. She probably never had a voice in her family.
Right.
So she never felt heard. And then I was telling him a story about how embarrassed I always was as a kid because my mom was like an original Karen. Like we would get like one thing wrong. And like I remember standing in this McDonald's in Northfield, Ohio. And I don't even know what could have possibly been wrong with our order. But my mom marched her ass right up to that counter and let that worker have it.
Oh,
and it was yelling. And as a kid, I wanted to sink into the floor.
Oof.
Like I just felt so mortified.
Oh.
And, you know, from my aspect, I'm like, what the hell was my mom doing? And he was like, well, okay. That was awful for you. And I have a lot of stories of when I was just embarrassed as a kid, a lot of embarrassment. But for that particular situation, so think of now, you know, 30-something-year-old Margaret,
mm-hmm.
who grew up in a family where she wasn't heard, had been basically told she wasn't really wanted. They only had a second kid because they thought they'd have a boy. Then they didn't. So then they had a third kid and it was a boy. So she was just like the extra girl that nobody needed, wanted, didn't want to see, was told she was too big, too ugly, too everything, was abused, didn't have a voice, had grown up having that like oppressive, you know, parenting put on her. So that when she finally got to be an adult, one thing happens and now this is her chance to fight back.
Right.
Because she never was able to as a kid. So like, you get my order wrong, you're going to hear it. And it's not even you. It's not even about the order.
No.
It's about my mother not ever hearing me.
Right.
So you just feel so sad. But at the same time, it doesn't make it right.
Right.
But but all those people that are in the same situations, they don't know. That's why all these keyboard warriors that are just mean for no reason and take shots at you that really hurt, it all comes from their hurt and whatever shit they went through that they're not fixing because it's too hard to fix.
Right.
Or they don't even know to fix it. And so, like, it's this cycle that keeps going of, you know, my mom was put through absolute hell as a kid, but then did the best she could and then just projectile vomited, like, anger and pain onto people because she didn't know how to deal with it herself.
Right.
So I grew up watching that, and then it made me the opposite. Like, I was like, if anything is wrong with my food ever, I am not going to say shit.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I am done. This is
like,
great.
I asked for a burger, and I got a fish sandwich. You know what? I kind of want a fish. Who said? Whatever.
Found a hair in it. You know what? It's fine. Good protein, girl.
Delicious.
It's good.
Exactly. So it's like everything has every action has an equal and opposite reaction, and that's how we're all raised. So it's really tough. When you know all of this, and I even know it, and like back to yesterday's thing with my mom being like, I guess I'll play with her. Immediately I was like, oh, God, I'm not being a good mom. I suck. Why can't I just go play with my kid? Why am I the worst parent? And then I'm like, wait, maybe I'm not the worst parent. Maybe my mom is just reacting to her childhood trauma. And since I have childhood trauma from that, I'm passing it on to myself now. But it's so hard to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
That's the cycle breaker in me, by the way. Because instead of just killing myself based on my past trauma, I have to stop and be like, wait. Even though everything I'm feeling right now is saying, like, go get up and play because I'm not doing this right. It's not true. This is fake. This is a fake story that my brain has told me that our past traumas are rolling down into, but I'm the one to break this. So I got to figure out how to do it. And let me tell you, it's heavy ass work.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're the cycle breaker in your family that can see the past trauma and stop it with you and try to change your behavior for the future. So that's how I am today.
Oh, fun. Scott.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I'm sorry. I mean, this is what I carry with me every day.
No, that is so important to talk about. I'm not even discrediting any of that. I'm just saying, like, Like, I don't even like, you know, going down my trail because that was so
important. It's okay.
Important.
Mm-hmm. When I was 23, I was not thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about cycle breaking and people's traumas and all that shit.
I'd rather talk about that now, though, because it's like, it's good to know it now and mm-hmm. realize it than be, you know, 15 years down the line and be like, ah, crap.
Yeah, it's really hard. So the sooner you can know about it, the better.
Yeah.
But you don't, I'm not putting this on anybody. I'm just telling my story, and it's just a lot. I deal with a lot every day.
Yeah. Do you recognize anything like that in your family that you've dealt with, Scott?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of things that I've realized that I've watched over the years from my parents to, like, each individual parent or even grandparents in those relationships that I'm starting to realize how to, like, deal with it now. And, like, we talked about it, I don't know if it was last podcast or whatever, like, how I deal with, let's say, like, confrontation or mm-hmm. if there's a fight.
Right.
Like,
Yes, we did
a lot of things subconsciously, especially early on in my relationship, especially with Mary, that I didn't realize were exactly just reflections of how I saw confrontation dealt with in my own home, in my own family. With
that's
how
what
things
you do.
Were. Exactly. But now it's cool. It's weirdly cool to realize it now and stop it. Like, let's say if I saw a fight and there's an outburst or something, or I saw a parent like storm off to the other room. Like, I catch myself now where if I'm in an argument or something with Mary and my first reaction is like, you know what? Well, F this. I'm hanging up. I'm like, wait a second. That's literally because that's how I thought, like, I should deal with it. That's how I thought, like, if there's a fight, like, just walk away and it'll just be fine in the morning. And I've learned, and as I've watched, I'm like, hey, that's not how I want to deal with it. That's not how I feel that it's the healthiest, because I found out in my own relationship that it didn't really do well. Couple hours later or the next day, there was still that hurt that was there that still needed to be addressed. And I credit Mary to the fullest because, you know, she would bring it up, be like, we didn't solve that.
Mm.
That crap's not solved.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it yet. And so 4 years down the line in our relationship, I'm really finally hitting that nail with this hammer of, like, if we are in a fight or something, I'm able to stop that feeling. Not the feeling's still there,
right?
But I'm able to push past giving up on it and actually, like, walk through it. And it's not even that far ago where I actually, like, literally we walked through step by step both of our feelings, why we felt this way. And it was like one of the first times ever we're at the end. And my fear is when a fight happens that it's like we could talk all the way through it and it's gonna be a waste of time because we're still gonna be angry. It wasn't the case. Like, we walked all the way through it, addressed everything, and then we were able to have a conversation at the end about other things in our lives. And I was like, holy crap, that's it.
Mind
that's
blown.
That's the magic. And I needed that moment because that showed me that fear, that if the anger is always going to be there until it just disappears, is not the reality. That there is a way to walk through it. There is a way to address the feelings and to have a nice, clear ending and then move on.
That's the thing about arguments, is that anger never goes away. It just moves to a different part of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you sit down and actually get down and uproot what's going on, that little weed is going to sit there and grow and grow and grow. And then it'll metastasize.
Good word.
There we go. Look at that. Into a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And then it's going to take even longer to dig down and figure out what the root of it is. And that's why it is so important. And to me, that is the communication that people talk about when they say you should communicate in relationships, is digging down into the root of, like, why is this happening?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, I mean, in a weird way, I am thankful that I'm in a long distance relationship, because it's forced us to now have to face these things head on. To, like, because there's no way out of it. Like, if you're in any sort of distance, like, you can't just put things on the back burner and be like, well, we're going to be okay when I see you in a month. Like, bitch, no, you won't be connected. You won't be on the same level. And if you can repair after that, it's going to be really hard. But one of the other things that I do want to say is one of the biggest lessons in why I do what I do and why I want to go into radio, one, to inspire, one, to entertain, and then also go into the motivational speaking realm, is because I've watched – well, my parents have always sacrificed everything for us. They've done everything they can to give us the life that we have. And one of the people, like, my mom is one, and I've talked about her many times on the podcast, whether it's with, you know, different scares, and now she's on her uprise. She was in the hospital a couple weeks ago, but now, like, hitting it back on it and getting her life, you know, back on track, is because she just kind of took the weight on of everybody else. She, you know, any problem, it was on her. Right. Whatever she had to do to make sure everyone else was happy, it was on her. And it took until the first time where, you know, like 2 years ago, where I got the call and she was in the emergency room, was like, that was her realization in life of, like, the fuck am I doing? Like, I need to live for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to put myself first. And it still is a daily struggle mm-hmm. to this very moment.
Yeah.
But that's exactly like watching that. And as I love my mom for, you know, doing everything she can for the family. But at the same time, I now know in my head that I'm going to do the job that I feel happiest with. I'm going to surround myself with people that I love, and I'm going to put myself in situations that I love, because one, this life is too short, and I don't want to look back on, you know, 40 years down the line and be like, crap, like I missed that chance. I should have done this. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I'm like doing the opposite of what I saw, because I saw the effect that it had on family members, where it's like you sacrifice so much, and it's very, you know, noble and very grateful for what I have. But at the same time, like, what is the extent to what it affects your life with and right. your health? And right. that's the one thing that I want to, you know, do for my own life, but also inspire others to do, is because, you know, we got this one shot. Are you going to give it all up, like worrying about what other people think, what other people want from you? Or are you going to live the life that you deserve? And I'm very thankful that I do it, but also watching my mom now, you know, she had that one scare and now is really holding on to the things and doing things that she loves, whether it's, you know, talking to certain friends, saying no to certain things that are happening in life. If somebody wants to talk and she doesn't want to talk to her, like learning that skill to be like, you know what? That doesn't bring me joy. And that's a conversation that we have pretty much daily now. It's like I get on the phone with her and we just kind of, you know, chat about what's going on in our lives. But it's a reminder for myself, but also for her, you know, if she wants to do something. We talked about it probably on the show with like doing this phone call with like my aunt and the spiritual group. And it's like 3 hours long, which is just bonkers to me.
It's not serving.
And that's what I told her yesterday.
No Zoom call needs to be 3 hours.
But it was literally a lesson that, you know, I got from myself, but I also was trying to tell my mom, because she told me, she's like, yeah, well, tomorrow I have this Zoom call. And I was like, wait, hold up. Did you just say, after that? If that's your reaction, then don't do it.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, this is your time. Mm-hmm. Everyone else can be disappointed. Big deal. But at the end of this isn't their life. This is your life. Yeah. Right. If that's your reaction to anything, reevaluate why you're doing it. And, yeah. you know, we talked about it, and she gets some joy out of it. So I was like, you know what? Well, then make the compromise, and we can keep talking about it, whatever you got to do to make it happen. But cut it off at 45 minutes. That's your joy. You got all the joy you need in that 45 minutes. Tie a little bow. Call it a day. But the moment that you go, oh, it's 3 hours, then don't stay there for 3 hours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's your life you're playing with. That's not their time. It's your time.
I tell you what, there is nothing more satisfying than saying no to something. And then when you look at your watch and see that you should be somewhere that you were supposed to be, but you said no. And you're like, I reclaim my time, bitch.
Yeah.
And I ain't got to do nothing.
It's really good. Although I will say, like your mom, Scott. Yeah. And by the way, you are the cycle breaker. So kudos. And it's hard, but you're doing it. And so with that, I deal with so much guilt, too. Guilt and shame, which shame is the worst. But the only way you can get rid of shame is by putting it out and letting it hit the light, because shame doesn't survive in the light.
Mm.
So you have this. I had this guilt and shame. It was the other day when I was trying to recoup the money for my mom's trip that she's not going on, and she's been like badgering me about it. So this is a whole complex thing. But then as like when I talked to the lady at the insurance place, I was like, yeah, so can I get the money back? And she was like, well, did you do this and this? And I was like, no, I didn't know how to do that. So she's like, oh, basically she was like, sorry, bitch, can't do it.
Mm.
And so I hung up because, again, the way I was like, I'm not going to fight with you
right.
because I saw my mom doing it and I didn't like it. So I don't want to do it. And that's just a weakness that I have. And I'm working on it, but it's not going to be perfected overnight.
Right.
So I was just like, I spiraled. That was Monday. I had that's probably why I had such a bad Tuesday. I just spiraled. There was so much shame because I was like, ooh, I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
Because
I knew that then I had to go tell my mom that she wasn't going to get her money back. And after she'd been fucking badgering me for so long, I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. I wanted to throw up or cry or like jump off the Howard Franklin. I mean, it was like heavy. So I'm sobbing and like, I'm telling my mom, I'm just going to write a check, because in my mind, I'm like, this is all my fault. I have to fix it now. And the best way to do that is with money. don't have that money, by the way.
Right.
So my mom's like, well, you maybe just do it a little bits at a time. And I'm like, oh, this bitch gonna take the money too.
She
and I was even like pissed
give
on top
it
of
to
it.
Give it to me.
And so then my person was like, wait. So then he got mad. And then I don't deal with people being mad because I think it's my fault. So he's like yelling. And I was like, why are you yelling at me? He's like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just yelling. I'm like, okay, can you stop?
Right.
So stop then yelling. He gets on the phone with them. And because he's really good at talking to people, he gets off the phone. He's like, oh, yeah, they're going to give you at least half back. And if you get a doctor's note, they'll probably give you the whole thing back. I was like, oh, how? Why did that happen? How and why? And I don't understand what just happened. But now I don't feel so much shame because I had, like, just been honest with him about it. I'm like, it's my fault. I didn't get the money back. It sucks. And I suck. He's like, okay, all that, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't. Like, I was on this shame train. And so then after the fact, after I was like open and honest about it and it felt like I was just the worst human, he's like, no, we'll take that and we'll make it better. And
yeah.
It was. But I say this to say, like, for someone like your mom who is now who's older than me, who has been doing that same thing your whole life, it just you feel like you're a piece of shit when you don't follow through.
Well, that's like the conversations that we have now. And that's why it's like, you know, now in this day of age, like I literally call her every day of just like that constant just reminder, because luckily I throughout my like my dad has that quality where it's like if something's not the right way or like if he needs to get on the phone, like he'll be the aggressor,
right?
And so that probably evened it out. And I think as you were just talking, I was like, wait, I definitely have both of those qualities now where it's like I don't like the confrontation, but I could talk myself up to a point if I could, like, I will do it if I have to. Like, I could get mean.
Right.
But luckily, like, he was always there if there was
you had an example of how to do it, like, the right way, even if that was not, like, your go-to.
Yeah, like, even if, it, like, a situation was awkward. Like, there's definitely been situations where, like, I felt weird about something. And then it's like I get that same feeling of my mom, like, this is so awkward. I do not want that confrontation. So now it's just all funneled into one, and that's me. Where I'm like, I could do it. I'm still uncomfortable, but I could do it.
Yeah.
And I want to do it. But now it's like that constant reminder because I realize that in her. And I realize, you know, those things that like will stop you from making that jump or getting what you deserve. And it's like for me, it's like I'm constantly just trying to remind her of like, this is like you, good old Lord said, all right, here's your chance. And he's done it a couple times. Start working on you.
Yeah.
And focus on you.
And you are doing a great job by being that backup support for her.
Right.
Because when you're trying to make a life change like that, if you come up against any sort of like opposition, it's almost like, well, this is dumb. I'm not going to do it.
Well, and especially when your mom is that age, when she's lived her entire life
doing
going that,
Way,
it's not something that you can just one day wake up and say, oh, nope, I'm going to reclaim my time and live for me. It is a slow process
because
in doing it.
You have learned, and your entire mind frame and your body and everything is just used to that way. So in order to make a change, you have to make a change in your like body and mind and conscious and subconscious. So doing that by yourself is so hard. I don't know how anybody does it themselves. That's why I go to therapy.
Yeah.
And like Scott, you're basically her therapy.
Whatever I got to do. I mean, constant reminder. And again, it's a reminder for me. And I'm happy, like, to do it because it's the same thing. Because it's easy, even if you are in the same situation or like me, where I'm, like, very optimistic and I fight for what I want. But it's easy to fall in a hole where it's like, well, all right.
Mm.
But then you got to remind yourself, like, well, hold up. Wait a second.
Right.
At the end of this life, like, I'm going to close my eyes. Like, did I get what I deserved? And that's something I'm reminding myself. And I'm trying to remind her and anybody else in my circle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest reminder is you get one life. What you gonna do with it?
True.
What you gonna do with it?
Miguel, you gotta stop asking me how I'm doing because then these podcasts turn into like this whole therapy session of crazy.
Man, I think we all need it though. Let's be honest.
I'm about to say, what else are we gonna talk about? I mean, listen.
I don't know.
By the time we get to the podcast, I'm pop cultured out.
Oh, God, me too.
And I'm like, listen, I don't wanna talk about anything. Like, we gonna, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't.
It feels arduous and tiring. If we were to have to come on here and talk like Kim Kardashian or
Kanye West.
Yeah, that
would be real.
I would be like, I'd be like, dread it. But I like this because it helps like lighten the load.
Absolutely. Anything I can do to lighten your load.
Okay.
Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Can't wait to lighten some loads tonight.
Wow.
Scott, what's your social media?
At Scott Tavlin, S-C-O-T-T-T-A-V-L-I-N on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
You can find me, Miguel Fuller, on Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.com/RadioMiguel for that. Make sure if you're listening on Apple Podcasts to hit the little subscribe button.
Yes.
And leave us a review and a rating, please. We love it. And if you want a Miguel and Holly sticker, send me an email with your name and address. I just got a brand new shipment of stickers in.
Stickles.
Yeah, some stickles. So shoot me an email, Miguel@hot1015tampabay.com.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.